This wonderful, victorious day of Easter that we celebrate recognizes a plan that God foreordained and set in place from before the creation of the world. At just the right time, God Himself stepped out of heaven and into our human history in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. Beginning at the age of 30 and lasting for 3 years, Jesus carried out a very public ministry of teaching and healing. Everywhere He went, crowds gathered, longing to be near Him. Never was this more evident than on the week before His death, as He came riding into Jerusalem on a young donkey. The young and the old rushed to line the streets, waving palm branches and cheering, "Hosanna! Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord." During the final week, but those who knew Him best also had opportunities to be near Him once more. In the home of Simon the leper, as Jesus reclined at the table, a woman came to Him with an alabaster jar of expensive perfume, which she poured on His head to anoint His body.
Amen.
gathered around another table on another night. The disciples, who had been through so much with their teacher, must have reflected on the power, protection, and provision they had experienced at the hand of their Messiah.
Sweet Jesus, my shelter, you are my faithful friend, the refuge I run to when my world comes closing in. Why should I be afraid when I know I am saved by the arms that take me in? Sweet Jesus, my shelter,
was being adored by those that hung on his every word. There were others in Jerusalem, in secret councils behind closed doors, who had an entirely different response to him. The religious leaders of the day saw him as a threat to their power. They were on the lookout for an opportune moment to seize him, have him wrongly accused, and to put him to death. They found their chance one night in the solitude of a garden, where Jesus had gone to pray. They made their move.
Holding.
the moment of Christ's suffering on a hill outside of the city, the people of Jerusalem were gathering once more to observe the ordained Passover. Just as their parents, their grandparents, and generations for centuries before them had done, each family was bringing to the altar a lamb to be sacrificed as an offering to cover sin. At the very hour when worshipers were packing into the temple and thousands of lambs were being slaughtered, the final once-and-for-all sacrifice was occurring upon a cross a short distance away. Our Savior was doing what millions and millions of animal sacrifices through the ages could never do. The wrath of God was being fully poured out against all wrongdoing. The blood of our Savior was being poured out by God's design to not just cover sin, but to actually take it away.
There's no treasure on earth that can move heaven's heart and purchase a pardon for me. No jewels or gems that I bring could start to pay my penalty.
Even silver
only by the blood.
By the great plan of God, there is one name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Only one name, only one help, only one hope. Crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ shines as the ultimate proof of our God's sovereignty. His purpose was perfectly fulfilled. In spite of the most evil and despicable plans of sinners and even Satan himself, the worst deed that hell and human depravity could design, because of God's absolute authority, was used to bring about the greatest good of all time. And so our hearts rejoice. Hope rises like the Sunday sun over Jerusalem that first Easter morning. We live our earthly days in the light of the dawn that revealed the power, majesty, wisdom, and grace of our risen Savior. He is alive. We have joy. His plan is accomplished. We have life in Christ alone.
Christ the Lord is risen today.
Stand with me, if you would, please, as the choir will be dismissed in just a moment. Choir, what a great job this morning. Thank you, Brother Ryan, for the good job. We're going to dismiss our children's church for ages 5 years old through 10 years old. If you will go through this door to my right, we have a program just for you this morning. Let's give the choir one more hand as they are dismissed this morning. While you remain standing, if you would please, we're going to read from the scripture as the choir is seated. And once again, it is certainly good to have everybody in our service this morning. Happy Resurrection Day to everybody who is here this morning. I direct your attention, please, to the screen behind me this morning, and I would like for you to turn to the book, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 27. We're going to begin to read this morning in verse number 50. If you would please, we've added a couple of verses since we put the slide together. Follow along with me, if you would please. If you need a copy of the Word of God, you'll find one under the seat right in front of you. You're welcome to use that while you're here this morning. Let's read together this morning from the Scripture. Matthew chapter 27, beginning to read in verse number 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Pray with me if you would, please. Heavenly Father, as we consider your word this morning, thank you for the wonderful job that our choir did this morning in singing and presenting the cantata. We thank you for all of their labor, for Brother Ryan and all the work and his team had put into this. We thank you for it so very much. And now, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would direct our attention to the resurrection power that was first demonstrated on that first Easter Sunday morning. Lord, thank you for all that you do in our lives. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for Jesus who died in our place, that if we would place our trust in him, we could have eternal life. Lord, I pray, dear God, for anybody within the sound of my voice this morning who might not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I pray, dear God, that before this service is over today, that they will know him in his fullness. Lord, we love you today. We thank you for all that you do in our lives. Please let your Holy Spirit open our ears, our spiritual ears, that we will hear and understand the things that we read and hear. Dear God, that we would respond accordingly. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I've chose the topic, go ahead and be seated this morning if you would please. I've chose the topic this morning of resurrection power. Resurrection power. I believe that Jesus' resurrection power is the greatest power that has ever existed amongst the annals of men. It's more powerful than any force that has ever existed. It is more powerful than war. It is more powerful than earthquakes or tsunamis or floods. It is more powerful than tornadoes or hurricanes. All the things that I have mentioned this morning have the potential of taking one's life. The power that I want to speak to you about this morning, resurrection power, has the power to make one alive. That is the greatest power that has ever been demonstrated in human history. The power to make the dead come to life. Let's look at it for just a moment this morning, if we would. I won't take a lot of your time today, but I want you to see some things from these very few short verses. The Apostle Matthew gives us a timeline of some events that happened when Jesus gave up his spirit. When he had prayed to the Father and he had commended his spirit to the Father. When he had paid the ultimate price for your salvation and for mine. The Scripture says that, first of all, in verse number 51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. Now, that's a whole message all in itself, and I won't spend a lot of time on that this morning. But just to say this, he is very clear to mention that the veil is torn from the top to the bottom. If you know anything about that veil, it was the partition that was in the temple between the holy place and the most holy of holy places, beyond the curtain, beyond the veil. This was a heavy material. Some estimate that it was a woven material. It was very strong. It could have been as much as 4 inches in thickness. And so Matthew is very clear to help us to understand that the veil is not rent from the bottom the way that man would have ripped it if a man had done it, but rather it was ripped from the top to the bottom, indicating that it is the Lord God who ripped that veil apart, giving access once again to you and I, to God Himself. No longer was it, did you have to go through the high priest to have access to the Father. Now, because of what Jesus did on the cross, every born-again child of God has direct access to the Lord Jesus Christ. So he includes that in what he says. But really, that's not all that's here. He goes on to say, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. The rocks, the boulders, these humongous boulders that were in the area of the city of Jerusalem, rent in pieces. This earthquake was so great. So an earthquake accompanies the last saying of Jesus Christ on the cross. The veil is rent in twain. But that's not all. Notice what else it goes on to say. And it says, and the graves were opened. So great was this earthquake that graves literally were opened. Now, we know the timeline of this event. This happened at the very moment that Jesus uttered his last saying on the cross. These events happened. Now, it is not unusual for graves to be exposed through natural disaster. We know that through flood and through tsunami and through some of these types of events, from time to time, there have been situations that graves have been unearthed. In Roswell, just 3 years ago, 3 summers ago, there was a great flood there in the city of Roswell and exposed many caskets, opened many graves. So even though this is not an ordinary thing that happens every day, there are times when this occurrence does occur. It happened in many of the great tsunamis that have been experienced. It's happened in hurricanes, those types of things. It's happened in history, and we understand that. But Matthew makes a distinction here. There's something different about this particular time when this happens. 3 days later. Now, what would you think if you live in the city of Roswell, or maybe you live in Louisiana, and there's a great hurricane, and all of a sudden all these caskets begin to float all over the place? That would be a little unnerving, would it not? But what if 3 days later there comes a knock at your door, and it's Aunt Matilda, and it's Cousin Frederick, and all of a sudden it's Mom and Dad, and it's great-grandma and great-grandpa, and they're knocking on your door, and they're saying, let me in. And you go to the door, and you open the door, and there is somebody you know. You were at their funeral. You put them in that tomb. You put them in that grave, and there they are. They are alive. Do you understand today that the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the day of that first Easter was not the only resurrected body that went to the city of Jerusalem after his resurrection? He gives us the timeline there in verse number 52. And the graves were opened. And then he is very specific about what graves there are. And many bodies of the what? Of the saints. Who are these saints? These are born-again believers. These are people who believed in Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior who would come, who would take away the sin of the world. They died believing in faith that there was a Messiah that would come. They believed the teaching of the Old Testament. They believed the teaching of the 122nd Psalm, or the 22nd Psalm. They believed the teaching of men like Moses in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15, that there would be one who would come. They believed in the teaching of Daniel. They believed in the teaching of Malachi, that there would be one who would be stricken. And his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. They believe those things, and here they are. They come forth from the grave, and the timeline that Matthew gives us is very clear. It says, after, look at it, verse number 53, and they came out of the graves after his resurrection. The graves were exposed on day one. They were exposed on Sunday, they were exposed 3 days before the resurrection. Let me correct that. They were exposed 3 days before Jesus ascended. But on that third day, after Jesus arose from the dead, these people began to rise and enter the city of Jerusalem. And they began to knock on doors. And the Bible says it's very clear that they appeared unto many. Now think about it, if you lived in that day. If you are Caiaphas the high priest, how in the world are you going to explain this? You might be able to put out the rumor that somebody took his body. But what are you going to do when there's eyewitnesses who have seen him? What are you going to do with the accounts when there are eyewitnesses of saints who have died in the past and now they are walking around live and well? What are you going to do with that? Do you see the dilemma that the high priest had? Do you see the dilemma that the Roman soldiers had? The Bible says that when the angel came and he rolled the stone away, and that just in his presence, that those Roman soldiers they fainted. They became as dead men when they saw that angel. How in the world are they going to say that all this stuff is fabricated? How are they going to do that? Do you see a thorough job that the Lord God does when he moves in the hearts of men? Oh, think about it today. There's people who lived before. Some of them possibly could have been dead 10, 15, 20, 25 years. And here they are alive walking around the streets of Jerusalem. And the Bible says that many saw them. Think about that. My friend, that is the power of the resurrection. All those who die in Christ are going to live again. Do you understand that today? Why is that? Well, first of all, it's because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the first fruit. I want you to go, if you would please, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. I want you to see this. The Apostle Paul talks about it. The Apostle Matthew has given us the timeline. He has given us the timeline of the events. And now the Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, he goes on to say, he tells us in chapter 15 and verse number 13, he says, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain." Do you understand this morning that that's including us? If Jesus did not get up from the grave, if he did not rise from the dead, then we're wasting our time this morning. If Jesus is not risen, then we do not have a Savior. He goes on further to explain, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he has raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your what?" Do you understand today? If Jesus did not raise from the dead, you and I have no hope whatsoever. Do you understand today that God has sent no other Savior? Jesus is the only one. There is only one spotless child of God. It is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is the only one who can save you this morning. I'm sorry, friend, you may have swallowed some thinking or some idea that someone else beside Jesus Christ can save you today, but my scripture says that there is no other name given among men whereby ye must be saved. It is the name of Jesus and Jesus only. He is the only one who can save you from your sin. He goes on to say in verse number 18, "Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ." Who is that? That is all those who have died waiting for Christ to return. And he goes on to say that they are perished. In other words, all your loved ones that you've placed in the grave, who put their hope and their trust in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the risen Savior, if He did not rise from the dead, they have no hope. In other words, you'll never, ever see them again. But I've got good news this morning. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He says in verse number 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. Let me help you to understand something this morning. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, guarantees your salvation. The resurrection, in fact, you can't even be saved and go to heaven if you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You look at the book of Romans, you check it out, chapter number 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You cannot separate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from salvation. You cannot do it. It is the only way that you and I can be saved is trusting and believing and accepting a Savior who died in your place for your sin, for my sin, that we might have eternal life. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. He explains it in verse number 22. For as in Adam all die, that's why we have to die, because Adam sinned. Do you understand the difference between you and Adam this morning? Adam became a sinner. You and I were born with his sinful nature. We were born spiritually dead. Adam died the moment that he sinned spiritually. You and I are born with a fallen nature. So we must be born again of the Spirit of God. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Jesus is coming again. Muhammad will never come again. Buddha will never come again. Only Jesus Christ, the darling of heaven, the Son of God, one day will reappear. Those who die in Christ, he gives eternal life. Go with me, if you would please, to 1 Thessalonians this morning, chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, and I want to begin to read in verse number 13. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Thessalonica. Notice what he says. He says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning with them which are asleep, concerning those who have died in Christ, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Do you understand the hope that we have today as born-again children of God is the resurrection power? That power that one day will bring every lost, every person who has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior back to life. He goes on to say there in 1 Thessalonians, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, there it is again, even so them which sleep or die in Jesus will God bring with him. What is that scripture telling me? That tells me that Jesus is coming again. He is coming again. He is coming for his church. He is coming for the redeemed. He is coming for all those who have placed their trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is coming again. Verse number 15. For this we say unto you, that the word of the Lord, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. He is simply telling us that the dead in Christ are going to rise first. You say, why is he going to raise the dead first? Well, the obvious reason is they've got 6 feet further to go. They've also been waiting a longer period of time than we have. So he is going to raise them first. Notice what else it says. For the Lord himself. Look at that. For the Lord himself. He's not sending Peter. He's not sending Paul. He's not sending Abraham. He's not sending Moses. He's not sending John the Baptist. The Lord himself, the scripture says. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Why can we comfort one another with these words? Because what Jesus did before, after he was resurrected, remember the graves opened? That last utterance, there was a great earthquake, graves opened, and then 3 days later, here they come. Many of them come forth, many of them who are saints, many of them who are believers in Jesus. Not the dead, not the ones who are Christ rejectors, not the ones who have believed in somebody else for salvation. No, 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 no. Only those who have placed their faith in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Jesus did it once, and he is going to do it again. There is coming a day when the angel is going to shout. We're going to hear the voice of the archangel. All those who have died in Christ, their ears are tuned for that shout. They're listening for the sound of the trumpet. And when that trumpet blows, they are going to get up out of that grave. Their bodies are going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That is what we were told in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. This mortality is going to put on immortality. This body is going to be changed. If I die and I'm put in the grave before Jesus returns, I'm going to receive a brand new body. And if I'm alive when he comes, the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then those of us who are alive and remain, we are going to be caught up with all those who have left the grave. Oh, hallelujah, what a glorious day that is going to be. That is the power of the resurrection this morning. You possess that power if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It is the greatest power on earth. It is greater than any earthquake. It is greater than any tsunami. It is greater than the mother of all bombs. It is the greatest power upon the face of the earth today. There is no power greater than the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We serve a risen Savior today. Aren't you glad of that? He's not dead. He's not in the tomb today. He's not in the grave, and he's not on the cross. He is risen from the dead. Jesus is alive today and forevermore. And one day he is coming back for all those who have placed their trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You might be here this morning and you say, I don't understand a thing that you're saying. I want you to go with me to the book of Ephesians real quickly, chapter number 2 and verse number 1. As Paul addresses the church in Ephesus. He says in chapter 2 and verse number 1, and you, speaking to believers, and you hath he quickened. That word quickened there means made alive. He has made you alive. There might be some people in this room this morning who have never invited Jesus Christ into their heart and into their life. Let me help you to understand why you do not understand spiritual things. You are spiritually discerned. You don't have spiritual discernment. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And that reference to death there is not physical death. It is spiritual death. And Paul says, "And you hath he quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Dead while we yet live. Alive physically, but dead spiritually. And all those who place their trust in Jesus Christ, hath he quickened. He has made you alive to spiritual things. That's why he says we are to walk in the newness of life. Behold, all things are passed away. All things become new. Before I was saved, I didn't want to be in church. Before I was saved and invited Jesus into my heart, the church was the last place that I ever wanted to be. But one day, Jesus got a hold of my heart. I gave it to him willingly because I realized I was a sinner, hopelessly lost, bound for hell. And all he was asking me to do was simply to receive him as my Lord and Savior. And that moment that I invited Jesus into my heart, he quickened my spirit. All of a sudden, everything started to change. I wanted to be around church. I wanted to be around God's people. It didn't bother me to be in the presence of God's people because all of a sudden I found a brand new family. All of a sudden I began to have spiritual desires. All of a sudden I wanted to know more about the Word of God. I wanted to be in church so that I could hear the preaching of the Word of God. I wanted to study the Scriptures so that I might know more about Him. Let me ask you this morning. Have you experienced the resurrection power of Jesus Christ? Do you have it in your heart and life today? No one can give you something that they do not possess. That's why Buddha can't give you eternal life today. That's why Confucius cannot give you eternal life today. That's why Muhammad cannot give you eternal life today. Only Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is the Savior. The power of the resurrection has the power to change us. It is the greatest power in the universe. It is the power to release us from bondage and fear. It is the power to relieve us from our burdens and our cares. It is the power to revive us from coldness and the hardness of a heart. It is the power to redeem us from sins and self. Oh, the glorious power of the resurrection. Let me ask you this morning, friend. Is it time for a change? Are you tired of trying to get there on your own? Are you tired of trying to live a good enough life to impress Almighty God? My friend, you can't do it. It'll never happen. It's only in faith in the Son of God, whoever overcame death, hell, and the grave for you and for me, that you can have eternal life. We make it so hard. It's not. Just simply come to the end of yourself and say, "Jesus, I need you. I can't do it myself." Friend, that's the truth. That's the truth. You cannot do it yourself. You need Jesus. You need the power of the resurrection. Father, what great power. No wonder the early church was so encouraged when they saw the things that were going on after Jesus gave himself a ransom for our sin. No wonder there was such great excitement when they saw not just Jesus, but others. People that they knew from their past who they had buried. And all of a sudden, here they come, speaking to many of them. Something happened. It was the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Lord, speak to our hearts today. I wonder if there's somebody here this morning who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior. And I'm just going to ask in the quietness of this moment, with every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody is watching. I just want to look out across the congregation this morning, and I just want to ask, do you need to make that commitment this morning? Do you need to invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart and forgive you of your sins and save your soul? The Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart right now, and you say, Brother Don, if I died right now, I'm not sure that heaven would be my home. Would you please just raise your hand? I want to pray for you this morning. I want you to leave here this morning a born-again child of God. When you leave these doors this morning, I want you to know that you know that you know that if you were to die, heaven would be your home. Jesus is the answer. The resurrection power can set you free today. Anyone like that at all this morning, would you just raise your hand and say, Brother Don, pray for me. I want to be saved. I'm not sure that I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Friend, it doesn't come through church membership. It doesn't come through tithing, and it doesn't come through trying to live a good life. It comes by admitting and confessing that we are a sinner in need of a Savior, and His name is Jesus. Are you saved today? Will heaven be your home? I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm asking you to invite Jesus into your heart. Are you sure, if you died, that heaven would be your home? Would you raise your hand? Would you raise your hand? Lord, you know every heart that is represented here this morning. I pray, dear God, if there's even one who doesn't genuinely know you as Lord and Savior today, that they will pray a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that you died for my sin and you rose from the grave 3 days after you died. And I know that you're coming again to bring all those who have placed their trust in you. Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sin today and save my soul and take me to heaven when I die. In your precious name, amen. Would you stand?